This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show. Let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you want to follow the Strictly Anonymous Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, follow me at Strict Anonymous. If you don't fucking go to Facebook, it's so fucking dead. I hate Facebook. I mean, are you guys still on there? Get off. It's the worst. I promise you, go off for 6 months and then go back on, and it's like Groundhog Day. Same shit, same weirdos posting pictures of them looking like bunnies. Do you know what I'm saying? Anyway, sorry, I hate Facebook. But if you want to follow me, I'm also on TikTok now. Yeah, I'm where the 12-year-olds are. Someone told me go on there and post confessions. You know, I have like thousands of them in my email, and I have been posting them there. And some of them get a lot of people viewing them. There's like billions of people on TikTok. So go follow me on TikTok, Strictly Anonymous Confess, I think it is. If you find the other Strictly Anonymous, you'll see a post that says follow me someplace else. But follow me there on TikTok. I said Instagram. Where else did I? What else do you need to do? If you haven't subscribed to my podcast, wherever you're listening to it, subscribe. If you're watching it on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to my channel, like and share my videos, and comment. I swear to you, I really love hearing from my listeners. So comment on the episodes there. If you want to be on the show, this is a call-in advice show where I talk to total strangers about all kinds of things. If you want to call into the show, go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and go to click on be on the show, or send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast.gmail.com. A lot of people like text me, or not text me, like message me on places and like, oh, I sent you an email, you didn't get it. And I'm like, I didn't fucking get it. And it turns out that I would say 99.9% of the time they're writing the wrong email. So the easiest thing to do that so you know the email will get to me is just go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, click on be on the show. That prompts the email, send it to me. You could be on the show. If you want me to post a confessions, you just have a naughty confession you want to send me, don't make it that long. Send it to me. I'll post it on TikTok. If you want to become a Patreon member, I have a Patreon. I deleted one tier because my Patreon was just getting to be so much work. I focus mostly on my pantyhose tier. I call those guys that belong there my hosers. I give them a lot of extra fun content. So if you're into pantyhose, trust me, you want to sign up there. I have a lot of stuff in the past that I posted that's really awesome. I have a lot of stuff coming up. We do contests. I do interviews. Lots of extra pantyhose stuff there. You could go sign up for that on patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. What I also do there is I have a tier that's like a $3 tier for people who want to support my show. You also get Q&As, a monthly Q&A, as well as you get these emails, these episodes early. You get them on Friday instead of Sunday. And then I have a $60 tier. And I love that tier too because I get to talk to people on the DL and it's not taped. I don't post it for my show or anything. It's not like I have to, you know, cut you off and get the whole story because I just have an hour. You know, that's what I'm doing on my show. Instead, on these calls, I just talk to people who want to talk to me about all kinds of things. They're kind of like set up like unprofessional therapy sessions, but people get a lot out of it. I enjoy the conversations. You could sign up for that on Strictly Anonymous, on patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast, or you could set that up with me through PayPal. Oh my God, I cannot talk today. You could do it there. I also remember Dawn the escort, right? She was a girl who just started her own podcast. I think we spoke about it on her episode. I did a podcast for her. We taped it. I literally was sitting in my bathroom and you get all that you're going to get of me because I'm anonymous too, but you see like my torso, my tits look really big, like extra big. I mean, they're kind of big for my body to begin with, but they look extra big in this video. And if you want to check that out, go to YouTube and Google Dawn Diaries. I'm going to put the link in the description. Go to my description below, click on the link to Dawn Diaries, and you could see my interview with her. I talk way too fast. Of course, I monopolize the conversation, but I think it's a good interview. I really like Dawn. She taped another episode with me for my hosers on Patreon. So if you want to hear that, sign up. What else? Let's just get to who I have on the show today. I have on Chloe Harper. Now, Chloe Harper is her pen name. You know where I found her? On TikTok. She like responded to one of my confessions and then she's like, oh my God, I've done all this stuff. And she has done a lot. And she's wrote a book. She wrote a book about all of her escorting and all the stuff that she's done. It's on Amazon. I'll provide the link of that below, but she's here to tell that whole story and more. She's bipolar. She's manic. She's euphoric. She's horny. She's an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. She's divorced. She sleeps around. She loves sex and all that really good stuff. She talks all about it. Now, I have to say, you need to prepare yourself. There are a lot of fucking characters in this story. I was getting confused. I tried to keep it, you know, under control and keep it so that I and you would understand what was going on because there's a lot of people in this story. That's why you might want to buy her book. I don't know. I think she has like 4 more coming out. And I think it's because, you know, she has this issue. Like I said, she's bipolar. She's manic. She says a lot that she's like, you know, her doctor's worst case ever person, and she feeds on that, and you know her manic behavior comes out in her sex drive, her sex life. She goes from being a mom to being a total whore, and she loves that part of herself. So I'm not saying anything about her that she doesn't say herself, right? But she gets into a lot of details. She was married. She was a webcam girl. She was a flight attendant, which led to escorting. She fucked race car drivers and CEOs and all that stuff. I'm exhausted just talking about it because there's a lot of information here and a lot of stories from Chloe. So anyway, I'm going to be right back on with Chloe.
This is the Strictly Anonymous podcast.
Hey, Chloe, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. I mean, the only details I know, okay, and it sounds like a lot of information that you're going to have to give me, is that you, assuming you were married and you had some affairs, it led to a lot of things, one including escorting, or I don't know. You have to give me the actual, like, one-liner of it first, and then we'll get into the details.
Yeah, absolutely. I was married for over 10, well, about 10 years, so we were together for a while. And to a physician, he was wonderful. And I am bipolar, manic depressive, so I went through a very phase where I was very dating very successful people in Ohio, having a really good time. I went on to work at the airlines, and then I got engaged again and started escorting.
Oh, okay. So you were, so the first guy, when you were married to him, were you dating while you were married, or it was after you guys got divorced, that 10 years?
So at the end of my marriage, I just, my bipolar switched. I was off medicine, and I'd been off of it for a while since we had children. And I decided to just start dating people. I had plastic surgery, got the whole mommy makeover, and I just started dating wonderful people about an hour away into one of the big cities.
But you were still married.
I was still married, and he knew I was doing it. And I actually encouraged him to have an open marriage as well, which he tried to, like, have dinners with people, but nothing came of it. Mm-hmm. He was supportive, but I think a little heartbroken that I went through with it. But I didn't have any concept with it. I'm also diagnosed with multiple personality disorder. So when I switch into my mode, I am careless. I'm reckless. It's definitely a dangerous thing to be in because I have no control. So I started whining and dining with people at country clubs all over, having a really good time. I would drop the kids off at school in the morning. I would get ready. I'd spend my afternoons in fancy upscale bars and country clubs and hotels from like 2 to 8 at night, just doing whatever it meant to get. It wasn't a self-satisfactory thing for me. It was a high from making men like get off. Like I wanted to count how many I could get just for myself.
Yeah, for sure. It was all about feeding something inside of you. It really probably wasn't about the guy. Of course not.
Yes. Exactly.
And, but your guy at the time, though, knew everything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, would he know details?
Within details. In time, I was webcam modeling as well. And I had by no means to take on webcamming. I mean, he was fully supportive. Everything that I needed was taken care of. But because my promiscuous side of being bipolar, I was like, I'm going to be a webcam model. And we would go to dinners and lunches and have the kids at a sitter. And I would sit there webcamming in public, eating food, talking to him. He knew I was online. And people were so excited, like jacking off on camera, thinking, oh, my God, her husband doesn't know that she's watching me jack off while she's eating like a wing and pizza dinner somewhere.
Oh my
and
God.
He knew I was doing it the whole time.
Oh, my God. I have a million questions. Wait a second. And then it leads to escorting and I don't know. This is too good. But wait a second. So your audience, so like at night when you were webcamming, you're like doing naughty things and then you took them along. Like, and so it was kind of like they were having this secret affair with you on a webcam. I don't know. How did you even think of that angle? Or it just came naturally because you were in this bipolar mode, right?
Yes, it came natural for bipolar, and I'm also a businesswoman. At the time, I owned a clothing store, yeah. An entrepreneur. I finally had ways to run the gig. So on Mondays and Wednesdays, when I took the kids to school after I worked with a personal trainer, I would go to the local coffee shop, which is a local chain, and watch these guys while I drank coffee with a low-cut shirt. I'd lick my lips, suck my coffee slow, drift my finger down my breast line. And people at the coffee shop were looking at me like something's going on, but I sat in the same chair every Monday and Wednesday. And I actually made a lot of money of men. I had a Hanes underwear model that would take me, because men can pay like a few bucks to watch you like by themselves.
Yeah.
Or they can pay to take you private per minute. He would pay $10 per minute for an hour for me just watching him play with himself, this Hanes underwear model.
Right.
It was like in his early 20s.
And were at work watching it. Like you would be watching him while you're doing other things.
That was at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
At the coffee shop. And then I would go back into work and I would run my clothing store like everything was okay and go be a mom, pick up the kids from school. They did sports. And so I literally was super mom at the same time as I was doing that. I was sleeping like 2-3 hours a night. In the evening, they'd go to bed and I'd put on my fancy lingerie, which my, bless his heart, ex-husband would take me shopping to go pick out the stuff for it. He was a trooper. He is now my best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally put him through a ring of hell and I feel horrible about it.
Did the word get out in the community at all, or was this one of those classic cases of like, oh, every on the surface, everybody would have thought you guys had the perfect marriage and everything was fine, but underneath, this is all the shit that was going down?
Yes. It was a town of 10,000 people, so everybody knew what we were doing, where we were going, what car we drove, what our kids were in. We were very well known. I mean, very, very well known.
But they didn't know.
Remember? They did not know until the very end when I really, really lost my shit and went into work for the airlines. I was like, I got to leave town. I'm out. I'm tapping out. I was a stay-at-home mom for 12 years. I was tapping out.
Right.
But
before
that,
nobody had any idea, right? Like, so you're living in this small suburban town, right?
None.
You guys look like the perfect couple. Your husband's a physician. Like you said, you have your own business. You're super mom. You're a stay-at-home mom. So you know all the other moms. They all know you. When it wound up coming out towards the end, right, when you really lost all control, what did people find out?
I think I was bipolar one day and I just was telling my two close best friends, you know, I'm watching guys online for this amount of money. This is what I'm making. I'm making it 1 or 2 months. I was making just as much as he was. It was insane. And, they were like, oh my God, like, I can't believe you're doing this. Like, oh goodness, I should say. And it literally was just blown up so quick. And they went and told everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in my mind, at the time, we had went on a girls' trip because we had the one girl's husband was a pilot, so he would get us tickets for girls' trips. And on the girls' trips, I had bumped my head. And when I came back, I was like, I didn't know I had this many kids. Are they this loud all the time? So I literally...
What do you mean? Because the bump... But the bump on your head, like, affected something or something?
Yeah, like a traumatic brain injury.
Oh, okay.
So they said, if you don't get better in 6 months, do something with your life. So as 6 months came along, I was still promiscuous. I was still doing my thing. And I said, I'm going to take a job at the airlines, which rolls into a whole nother story when the escorting started.
Yeah.
So I've had a really interesting life.
But did you guys stay in that town? I mean, because I have to think that when everybody found out, you know, that was pretty hard on your family. Maybe not on you because you're still like manic or whatever, but like for your husband and your kids. I mean, when it's kind of like high school, when a rumor gets out, I mean, it's pretty devastating, no?
Mm-hmm. He stayed in town up until 2 years ago. And this would have all happened in 2015, 2016.
Right. Okay. And so, now, did you so guys...
He was,
go on.
He was stuck there dealing with my repercussions of whatever.
Right. Why?
He stayed there and I was moving on.
Right. So now that's towards the end. You know, everyone's sort of the gig is up about your relationship and your marriage and everything you're doing. And then eventually you guys divorce, or how do you leave and he stays?
This was in March. I leave for flight school in May and it's a 6 week training in Houston. And when I got back in July, he had filed for divorce. And I never looked at the paperwork. Till this day, I don't know what day we were divorced on. I never went to the hearing. I don't want to know. I don't want to believe it's over. I was heartbroken, but yeah, I can't blame him.
How many years ago was this?
Well, it would have been 2016 we were divorced.
Okay, so right. Okay. But you guys are best friends now. We'll get to like, well, you know, how you feel about now, because you just said like, oh, I can't, you know, I don't want to believe it. So, but let's just continue on with the story. So you're in flight school, you get back, you're divorced. Now you start like flying all over the place. Where's your home base at that point?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I was in San Francisco, but the first 3 months out or 3 weeks out, I met this amazing man on the airline that happened to be married, that had affairs like crazy. We end up living together. I ended up transferring to Dulles in Virginia, yeah. Washington Dulles. And we lived together for a year. He never leaves the wife. Well, in the meantime, in 1 month, I met this very successful man that works for a very huge company. I don't want to name, but they design like NASA stuff and everything that's very, very high up, like second to the CEO.
Yeah.
And he's like, you are amazing. He's like, you're promiscuous. You're fun. You're bubbly. You're energetic. Your kids are in a stable house in Ohio. My kids are in a stable house in Idaho. His wife was ex-wife was very successful as well, too. Very well known. And he's like, let's make this work. And I was so mad that this guy was married that I'm absolutely in love with. And my family loved him. I brought him home. My ex-husband, all of them met him. The kids loved him and everything. And I was, so this new guy said, let's get married. He gave me a $25,000 engagement ring. I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's totally do it. We're both whores. We're both crazy. Let's have a good time. So we have like this fun time. Well, he's like, you need to make more money. He's already a millionaire by means, like, very well taken care of the rest of his life. And he was 20 years older than me. And he, so I said, well, I'm going to start escorting. So my book leads into how I started escorting.
But how and why did you start escorting? Like, how did that get pop into your head? And
I was miserable in that relationship because I wanted to be with a stable person. And my manic side came out again. It had been docile for about a year. And it surfaced again, and I thought, well, I could sleep with these men easy for money. It started off as dating. I could go on a date, and I could make money on a date. Well, within 24 hours, I was like, I would be willing to totally put out for these guys for money. And he was like, well, I don't know if you could do this. And I said, I could totally do this. And then I started escorting. And
so wait, so it's not something that you ever, like the part, there's a, it sounds like every time you act out, you don't keep it a secret. I mean, you kind of like, maybe it's on purpose that you like throw it in the guy's face. I mean, it's not like you went and escorted secretly on your own. You told your guy straight up, like, this is what I'm going to go do.
Yes. But my family has no clue in the meantime. My mom, like of everybody course not. Has no yeah. clue that I'm.
But your guy yeah, does. So but which guy are you yeah. with? I'm a little confused. There's a lot of guys in this story. You know, you have this guy that you're living with that you met at the airlines who has a wife, but then you meet the new guy. Who's the guy that you're with yeah. when you start escorting? The new guy that like.
The new guy. Okay. Yeah, we got engaged, did the whole, you know, go meet the parents thing. And he's 20, 25 years older than me. We do the whole fake facade of a relationship, like just.
But why is he not stable? But why is it, what's unstable about him? Because you said, you know, I was craving the stable relationship and this is why I acted out. Like what was wrong with him?
He was, finagling with girls while I was gone that I found out like later on. And I think that's what made me explode back into a manic phase is my heart was broken because I was with this guy I loved so much. So the new guy was just cheating on me as well. So I felt like, well, I can go out and date guys. I did it before in my marriage. I can go out and get guys again.
Yeah.
So I think it was a control thing to hide my feelings of being hurt from him. He was very abusive, very sexually abusive, which comes out in my book as well.
Right. And also because you're telling him, that's like you're trying to hurt him and do, you know, make him feel like the way you feel, right? You're
yeah.
fucking well, other people while I'm gonna, and how does it make you feel?
True, definitely true. But all along, he would call me a whore, these horrible things before I started seeing these guys. And
oh, really?
It would hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was just very, very abusive. And so when I was like, I'm taking my life back.
Yeah.
I don't need your money. I'm making my own money at $500-$700 a pop a person. I'm doing just fine on my own. And then it got worse and it just escalated into a complete disaster. Then, of course, my family has no clue why this relationship's going wrong. Like, you guys were engaged, you're moving to Costa Rica, everything was great. And in the meantime, my ex-husband has the kids at his house and decides to move them across Ohio to another place just to get away from the whole, I mean, of work, but the shimbuckle of the whole repercussion of my disaster.
Now, he's a physician, so he has to, like, move a practice. I mean, is he a physician in a hospital, or does he have his own private practice?
Yes. He's in a hospital, yes.
So he has to move someplace and get a new gig and everything just to clean up your mess.
Absolutely.
And he's got the kids too.
All during, but I'm flying in and out and seeing them around the schedule. It was tough the first year being in the airlines because they really buckle you down. But over the course of time, I was able to come home more and more. And I stay at the house with him when I'm home. It's kind of like my second little home.
Right.
I call myself a gypsy because I travel around so much.
Uh-huh.
But so he had to pick up his life and start all over again.
Your husband. At this point, he's your ex-husband. And he, I mean, he's probably the only one that has a clue of why that marriage didn't work out. I mean, I know you said like, oh, everyone's like wondering why it went south. But your husband probably knew because he knew the shit that was going down with him. I mean, you're not really capable, right, at this point of, you know, not sort of blowing things up or, right, or keeping in a stable relationship.
Yeah, I'm a train wreck. And so when the things went wrong with the fiance, when the train wreck started, he had a clue why the train wreck started.
Yeah, he would be the one that knows. Yeah. And maybe everyone else in town.
And when they diagnosed me with multiple personalities, he was like, well, what took them so long? Because he was fully aware that I didn't purposely mean to hurt anybody in the process. I just have no control, like, at all. Like, you know, a girl comes up to me and I don't care who they're dating. I want to kiss them. I'm like, it's
who, their boyfriend or the girl? What do you mean?
Yeah, the girl, the boy, girl, boy, it doesn't matter. I'm like, I'm all over it. And I feel horrible because whenever he tries to date somebody, I'm like, hey, but now he's in a stable relationship and it's like, I'm medicated. I'm very docile now, but
didn't anyone try to get you back on medication in that whole time? Because I would assume that your husband, who you were living with, knew that there's a major difference. Like, I'm surprised he wasn't shoving the pills down your mouth.
No, he's very, he's not one of those push and shove doctors. He's very, but he's not like an herbalist either. He's very, you know, pro the medicine, but we had kids back to back.
Yeah.
So we've got three little girls that were every other year. And I was breastfeeding and all that fun stuff. So when you're nursing all these kids, you don't want to be on a lot of medicine.
Right.
So I was kind of under control. My hormones and everything were really, really at bay for probably about 8 years where we did not have any issues. Cause when we first got together, I was on medicine.
Uh-huh.
But I was having so much side effects from it. I was sleeping like 20 hours a day. It was very difficult.
Right.
So when I went to have the kids, everything was happy. You know, I had new cars every year. We had a spot at the lake, a lake spot. We were traveling. We were doing all these things. And then once we got settled in a routine and the kids all went back to school, I became whore galore. Like, I don't know if it's because everything drastically changed so much, even though I was working at my own clothing store. Everything changed so quickly. And I got this mommy makeover and I was like, look at me. I'm 115 pounds. And I've got triple D boobs and let's rock this shit.
But did you get off your medication then, or were you still on medication? Or you've been off?
I was not.
Right, right.
I was off of it from the nursing and the kids.
Right. So you stayed off it. And then it was like you feeling good about yourself. That sort of.
A euphoria. You just go into like this euphoria that's unexplainable and it could last weeks. It could last a year. You have no control over it.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie. It's a wonderful feeling to be in euphoria. It is like the whole world is your oyster.
Right.
Like I would sit at the airport and just tease and flirt in my uniform. And when they would come over, I would ditch them in a heartbeat. I could not stop myself from the euphoria of being manic. Like I would slide my fingers like up my skirt, up my pantyhose line in the airport with people watching. I would like run it down my chest and put my fingers in my mouth and suck them off like real slowly. I mean, when I am manic, it's just not appropriate the things I do. It's not. I openly talk about sex to everyone. I don't care if they're in church and religious or if they're 18 or if they're 45,000 years old. I'm kind of like, woohoo, look at me. I have no respect at all. And then when I'm not in mania, I'm like the calm housewife here with the kids. Let's talk slowly.
right. Right. You can't get to that happy medium. Like, there's no in the middle.
No. Mm-hmm. No, even medicated. I'm on 7 pills a day right now. Even medicated, I still can step out of bounds. And like I said, my ex-husband is the only one that can look at me and say, you need to calm it down. And I will pull myself together. And literally, but just by his eye raise of his eyebrows, he'll be like, do you need to rest? Do you need something? Let's just eat dinner in tonight. Very understanding of what I've got to go through.
Let's get back to the escorting thing, though, because we got a little off track.
Absolutely.
And so now you figure out, right, you're in this bad relationship with this guy. You feel terrible about yourself because he's a cheater, right? You start to think like, oh, because you've made money from guys before. I'm assuming you're super horny. You can't even scratch that itch with enough sex, right? So you're like, let's
exactly.
go out and make money from it, right? How do you find your first guy? I mean, did you put an ad? Did you be like, were you a full-fledged escort or...
So there is an app or an online store, store to pick up your girl.
Yeah.
But there is a well-known website, which I don't know. Can I say or not?
Sure.
A well-known site called SeekingArrangement.com. And they basically are just your little pre-order people that you want to escort around with. You make a snazzy little profile, you slow up a couple pictures, a couple private pictures for them to request, and you start doing your gig. And I loaded mine, and within minutes I had oodles and oodles of guys just going crazy. I had done really well with my photos and had different snapshots. I dabbled with photography on the side, so I was able to put some really good ones up.
But I'm assuming that you show up and you look fucking hot too. I mean, you had this mommy makeover. What would you say you are on a scale of 1 to 10? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say.
Really. Oh, at that time, 11.
Okay.
At that
time,
I knew it would be
11. Extreme. Yeah. Okay.
My photos matched everything that I gave them. So that's why I said when I was good dabbling photography, I was lucky that they matched. When I showed up, the guys were like, we thought it was a fake photo.
Right.
They thought there was no way. They were like, there's absolutely no way. And a lot of them would tip me extra because of like me not lying and being real. But I hate to say that I was 11, but when I have kids, you're like a 6, you know, your confidence is just down.
Yeah.
And you get this massive surgery that's like tightening your stomach, you're flattening out, you're working out with a personal trainer a few days a week, you get this beautiful brand new belly button, you get everything in the whole package. So when these guys pick you up, they're just like, you're my wife. Like, my wife has a few kids and she doesn't look like that. Can you replace that moment for me?
Right.
So these people are deeply in love with their partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, deeply, like, we don't want to get caught, you know, at all extremes. And I have never got caught with anybody. Even the guys I dabbled with during my marriage, no one got caught. And there were some well-known people that I signed clauses for that I probably should have been caught with, but
what do you mean well-known people that you, what do you mean well-known people that you signed clauses with? Like famous people,
signed,
people like in what like if you, you're not
going
to give names, right? Cause you signed like
non-disclosures, absolutely.
Right? But like what field was it, were they in?
They were also other doctors for like famous, sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
They were, CEOs of huge foundations.
Uh-huh.
Race car drivers.
Uh-huh.
One owns a huge clothing factory.
Uh-huh.
So very, very, very well-known people that, that to this day I have not heard. One of them I still hear from. The race car driver, he's a little more open now that he's divorced about it. I kind of caused his divorce.
How'd you cause his divorce?
In the beginning he didn't. But he didn't throw me out in the beginning. It was private, but then it kind of wrapped around. But he would come and travel for the race car tracks in Ohio. And my ex-husband would be like, you have to get us tickets. I don't care if you have to put out, you got to get us tickets to these races. And we'd get pit crew passes and everything. He does stay in touch. The other ones, have not stayed in touch. When I was escorting again, the one did pop up because he's the CEO of a huge foundation. So he spends a lot of time in DC where I was located. He would get his hotels a night were $10,000 a night. And he would be like, can you come over, spend the night with me? And of course, who's not going to not do that? I don't care who I upset at that point. I'm manic. And if you're going to spend that much on a hotel with an open bar, I'm I'm there. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Just I'm your girl. I'm
but
here.
With the guy with the race car driver, you said that, you know, you've never gotten caught. The guys have never gotten caught with you. So how did you break up his marriage?
So that's what I was saying. He was very careful at first. We was under radar. We traveled to all the races. I mean, it was amazing just to be. And I was younger for that one too, so I was still fairly new in the divorce thing.
Uh-huh.
So he literally, when I first started my, he's an interesting cause. This race car driver. I knew him when I was 19, and when he came back into the picture, my ex-husband actually reached out to him and said, can you be with her? Because if not, she's going to be with a lot of other people. And he felt like a safety niche with him. And so I did go see him, and I actually modeled at a car show in Indiana for an event that I saw him for, which was a lot of fun. And so I caused his divorce, and he did not say anything until the end when they filed everything. And he was married to another professional race car driver.
But wait a second. But so this wasn't when you were escorting. This is when you were just having affairs.
This was when I was having affairs, but he came back up before the escorting.
Okay. But when you were escorting, you said that you never got busted. I don't know. I'm just trying to keep track. There's a lot of players in this story.
There's a lot of going on. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, you know, how much do you charge escorting? Like, what, you know, you go on Seek an Arrangement, you put in $500, and this is like for the full thing, you're having sex with people for $500?
Yeah, for about 1 to 3 hours.
Okay. And I'm assuming you were enjoying yourself?
The manic side of me says, take your clothes off, be presentable, and be poised and on point. And the depression side of me says, what are you doing at the same time? But the excitement and the high of it, the euphoria kicks back in and it bounces back out. And it's like, you don't care to come. You don't have no desire to get off. You have no desire to do anything but to service that man and what he needs to come for you. And like I said, in my book, I count how many comes I get. Did they give me one? Did they give me three? How many did I get from them that they did not give for someone else? Because my fiance at the time would never come for me. He never got off for me. I had no idea what it was like for him. And so I did this for my own pleasure. How many comes can I get these men escorting for me to come?
Right.
And it became a game. And I didn't care if I had to take my clothes off. I don't care if I had to get on my knees and suck. I didn't care if I had to sit upside down. I don't care if I had to tie them up. I don't care if I had to beat them or if they had to beat me. I was stuck in this moment that took over me, that I had no control of when to stop. It was just, come for me. I want to swallow you. I want to feel it on my breath.
What was like one of the craziest things you did just to, you know, get that check, just to mark that off in your head? Do you remember?
There's so many moments. One of my funnest moments was of course I have had to change the names for people, but we'll call him Peter in my book, had this obsession with his girlfriend having a threesome. Well, his other seeking arrangement partner, because he was married, another partner, having a threesome. But I said, not on the first shot. And I ended up not seeing him again. He was crazy. We met at this steampunk hotel. And I hit the door, and he didn't greet himself. He didn't, which we had met for a luncheon before. But he said, hey, you're here. And he threw this sack at me of all this amazing equipment, you shall call it, and had me tie him up, ball and gag him, beat him with a little whiskey thing, like tickle his body and smack him with it. He was like, as soon as I hit the door, he was like, tie me up. And I was like, okay. I was very just low key about it in my book because the experience was so crazy that it was interesting, because most guys like to be tied up. That's like their thing. And he was like fully equipment, like it was ready to go. That was crazy. A lot of guys like sex in elevators. I don't know how much sex I've had in elevators. I mean, it's just insane to be sex in an elevator, fingered in an elevator, in the parking lots and hotels. I don't know how many times I've been busted having sex in an elevator. I don't know how they didn't call security and pull me out of those. Well,
do you stop the elevator? I mean, how, like, do you just put it on pause?
No, nope, we just keep going. Just up the floor, down the floor, 1 through 11, fingering each other, on your knees. There's a camera in those things, but how, especially the public garages when you're going to and from dinners, like when you park in the parking garage, we would ride those things up and down and have, I didn't have zero fucks. Zero fucks if I was going up and down an elevator. Now, me now, like when I'm on my medicine, is like, oh my gosh, I can't even park my car in the garage a certain way. How the hell am I going to go up and down an elevator sucking cock constantly?
Right.
Up and down, just up and down before dinner. But the men are very into voyeurism, very into being seen well in places that they're not supposed to be caught at, which always surprised me because they were trying to be so private. So when we get done, I'd be like, why'd we have sex in an elevator when, like, you would have been in a lot of shit for that. But they love that. That's why they were paying for it, to get off, was to do it that way.
Right. And so how many guys and how much did you, while you were escorting, did you have in rotation? I mean, how many guys you get meet up with on SeekAnArrangement.com?
I was with over 50.
Right. And why did you stop? Like, what happened at the end of that stint? Like, because I'm assuming you're not doing it now, right? How many years did you do it?
2.5.
Okay.
I am not doing it currently. What had happened was I got off my meds for a few weeks. Of course, you spiral into deep depression. I had this beautiful little apartment that was brand new. Locked myself in the apartment for 3 weeks. And my father passed away, and I had only seen him once in 10 years. We never made up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about once in 6 years, 7 or 8 years, somewhere around there. My kids were, they never know their grandpa at all, and they're older teens now. And he passed away, and my mom said, you're off your meds. We're moving you back to Ohio from Virginia, D.C. area, and you're coming home. And I came home, and I went back on my meds, and since then, I've been see my mom. I'm on medical leave from the airlines. I can go back at any time. But according to my therapist, as we're working through the multiple personality disorder and trying to deal with Chloe and what she's got going on, they're not ready for me to go back to the work. There's like Chloe's got so much that she's just peeling off at the surface that we can't even send you back to the work world at this point, because I'm at a danger. If I go back, I will be promiscuous again. I mean, the pilots I've slept with, the trips I've been on, overseas in Sweden, the plane broke down. I was sleeping with all the pilots, even the female pilot. I mean,
tell me that story. Okay. So how did you wind up sleeping with all the pilots, including the female pilot? Tell me what
this is where it gets a little twisted. So we had this beautiful, huge, huge plane going to Switzerland. And we land in Switzerland. We disembark. We all head to the hotel, and everyone's, like, so tired. And this one guy named Bill was super sweet. And then the other pilot had his wife with him. And then there was a female who was the captain of the whole shebang. And so I said, it's a shame that we're only here for, you know, a little bit. And he's like, well, I go around the corner to a bar and whatnot. And I said, no, I'm going to bed. Like, fuck this. I'm going to bed. So I go to bed. The next day we all load up, we get on the van, we head to the airport, and the plane is broke down and they've got to bring the part in on the next plane.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the hotel, or another hotel, after fighting the scheduling to get the hotel. And I said, fuck this. I said, I'm going out. I said, I hated to be not classy about it, but I said, I'm done. Like, this is, we've been at the airport for hours trying to figure out what to do with this part. And Bill, the quiet guy, said, I'm going out too. Well, the married guy says, well, I'm going where they're going. Well, the female captain, she's arguing crew scheduling with our captain of the flight attendants. They're trying to get the hotel range. She said, I'm going where you're going. So an hour or two later, we all met up and went out to dinner, and we walked all
over.
Wait,
quick question. I remember exactly where we were. All the guys that you're seeing, the guy that's cheating on, like, they're all on this flight together? You're all on this flight together?
Yes, we're all on this flight. So there's like 8 flight attendants, 3 captains, because there's always an extra one going overseas. Well, 1 captain, 2 co-pilots.
Yeah.
And then the one brought his wife for the trip, because we get free travels with our family and our friends. So he brought his wife. So we go out, blah, blah, blah. And Bill and I meet early in the lobby, 30 minutes early, and have a drink. He's older, like 60, 65, married, very humble gentleman. Just, you could tell he's never done anything bad in his life. And I have to fucking corrupt him because I'm like, Bill, tell me your private secrets. Let's see if we can top that shit because I'm manic. And, of course, I crack at him all night. We all go out bar hopping, have a really good time, walk around Switzerland, come back, and we are at the hotel, and we're all meeting in the lobby again. Well, the female captain and I had fooled around in the bathroom a little bit. And so we come back, and she's like, oh, cool. So that was fun. That was a great little hookup. And so Bill is sitting there, and the other pilot and his wife. And the other pilot and his wife start doing, like, their little flirt thing, go to their room. So I go back to their room. We play around a little bit. He of course, didn't have sex with me, but sex with her, and I had sex with her. Because it was like a boundary thing. Sometimes when married people have threesomes, the wife doesn't want the boy to, like, enter her, but just, you know, maybe suck him off a little bit. So I followed the boundaries of that couple. Well, I had got Bill's number. I text Bill, and I go, little humble Bill, old man Bill, go to his room, go into his door, just kiss him, push him back on the bed, take off his pants, put him in my mouth for 2 seconds, got up and rode him for like literally 20 seconds, and he got off. So that means I slept with four people in one night on a Switzerland trip while the plane was broken down.
But wait, when you go into that room, it's the guy and his wife and the female pilot?
No, the female pilot and I fooled around at the bars.
Oh, okay. In the bathroom. What'd you guys do in there? Just like finger each other?
Definitely. No, I went fully down on her. Like, we, of course, she fingered me, but I got on my knees, pushed her against the wall, looked at her, kissed her, went down on her, and had my way with her and with my fingers in and out of her. Her moans were absolutely beautiful, absolutely stunning. It's probably one of the best women I've been with. And I wrote about one in my second book, but she was very, very, very pleasurable. And when I got done going on her, I put both of my hands, one hand slapped it against the wall, one hand slapped against the stall wall, and just kissed her really deep with the taste of her. Mm-hmm. And she literally was like, just looked at me.
So you can keep mentioning your books, okay, and we didn't even talk about that, and I feel like people listening are going to, I know this because when you initially found me on TikTok and emailed, like we started talking back and forth, you were like, I have this book, and this is my pen name, right? So you have these books, books that you wrote about all this shit?
I have a book.
Uh-huh. How many?
I have a book, and the second book is not written.
Okay.
Second book is written, but not published yet. And there, the first book is all about escorting. It's not a well-written book. It's an easy read, like pick it up, read it on the subway kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's each chapter is named after a person that I had an escort affair with. Not each one, but the ones that stuck out to me.
Right. The notable ones.
So then it ends on how mania, depression, and abuse can cause these reactions.
Yeah.
Well, book two takes off again on more clients that I had. And where I went to where I kind of went, because I went manic in between and got back on medicine.
Yeah.
So then I went back into retirement and I went right back at it again because I said I did it for 2.5 years. And so the second book is more people. And the third book is a whole nother can of worms. And the fourth book has started on my flight attendant adventure.
Right. But only one book is out there. And where can people find that book and what's the title? Why don't you just
say it? That book is available on Amazon. And mm-hmm. it's under Seeking Chloe Harper. So Seeking Chloe Harper, as seeking comes from seeking arrangements. So, and my name was Chloe Harper. So they were seeking me. So Seeking Chloe Harper. Book two, which is almost out, is called Seeking Chloe Harper Behind Closed Doors.
Okay. And then you have the other two that you're writing, whatever. So let's get back to your pilots and everything. So you bang all those people, right? That's what happens on that trip. That was one of your crazy experiences.
That was one of my funnest ones. I mean, I've had lots of crazy ones, which I will write about in the flight attendant Chloe's flight attendant chapters.
Yeah.
But I was very lucky to have that ability to fly where I needed to go. And if somebody I needed was on one trip, I would fly into the city and see them on that trip. And you make things happen magically in the airlines when you have a pass to anywhere.
Right. So that was like the perfect kind of gig for you. I mean, I'm assuming you probably didn't do that knowingly, right? But that did help your issue and like foster it. I mean, not in a good way, but
it aided it.
Yeah, it aided it, right? And it, and so when your parents took you out of that and you stopped working and you've been living with them, have you been doing any of this stuff?
No, I have actually been really calm for the short stint that I've been home for. And I think their biggest fear is me to go back to the airline.
Right. Because it aids and abets you.
Yeah. So they're kind of like, are you ready for work? Of course, they're like, Amy, when are you going back? But at the same time, they're like, are you going to stay on your meds again? Because I've been on and off of them for so long. Since, you know, my early 20s, that anything could happen. And it's so easy not to take your meds. I mean, it's just like, boom, you're done. And within 48 hours, you're whore galore.
Right. I mean, and you know, I mean, you talk and like, you know, you talk about, like, intellectually, you know these things, right? But there's probably, obviously, this, I think when you have these kind of issues, there's something else that takes over. And even though you, like I said, know in your brain, everything about your disorder and what happens if you don't take your medicine, there'll be a part of you that will not take your medicine and you'll wind up exactly doing this behavior that you know is wrong, right? Intellectually, but there you are doing it again, like sabotaging, you know, back where you started for. And that in lies the problem. Now, do you have a therapist that you see at all times?
Absolutely. Every week I have a therapist that is really picking away at the multiple personalities thing that I've mentioned, of course, the bipolar. But the thing is I like being a whore.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Right.
So if I was to go back to the airline, I'm on leave for, I want to, my family knows I'm going back. They know I'm going back at some point. That's my passion. I love to travel. I love that my kids get to travel for free. My ex-husband's listed as my husband on my pass. He gets to travel. I mean, so it's, the point is, where do I balance not being like a super whore? I think they secretly think I'm going to find like the man and settle down, when the man I found was married and he did not settle down. So therefore I don't have a reason to settle down. I like being promiscuous. I literally can masturbate in my car right now talking to you.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. That's how promiscuous I am, just by hearing a female voice or a regular voice. It, the slightest thing triggers me. And like I said, I miss a, you know, 48 hour dose, and it's like, I'm skeeving guys out at the bus stop. Like,
so you're still acting out, even though you're on some medication right now.
I'm acting on myself, trying to keep it self control.
Right.
So like, am I having sex with people? No. But if I'm flirting, am I out? Am I going home and masturbating like crazy? It's out of control, because I can't go out and express myself. Like, a part of me says, this is a part of my life. I like being Chloe. I like being out there. It's kind of disheartening that you have to hold it in, because I don't.
Well, you did say, listen, I mean, you did say, though, while you're doing that, you do have another part of you, right, that doesn't feel right about it. I mean, that's the truth, right?
Yeah.
Or is it all of you feels like this is fine? Because if it was, then I'd be like, wow, sex positive. Go do what the fuck you want to do. I don't know. You know, take control of it. That's what you're like. But that's not what's going on here, correct?
Correct. But I think the depression kicks in, and I think the fact, not to pull it in, but I think motherhood mm-hmm. has a big sway in what you're doing and what you're not doing.
What do you mean?
But... you get going and you're like doing your thing and you're going down on these guys and you're doing your thing and you're kind of like no self-control. You want to do whatever you're doing. And then you're like, for a second, it flashes in your head, you're a mom. You're a mom.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where the control kind of goes in and out so much. I think when my kids are older, I'm going to be at more damage to myself than I am right now.
Maybe, but maybe because you swing on such extremes, like maybe when you don't have that other extreme of that you have framed in your mind of being a mom, like maybe you won't have to do that. I think maybe having that in that place all the way on the other side of this promiscuous place is what actually makes you act out. Whereas if that wasn't there, maybe you wouldn't have to swing so far the other way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying.
I don't know your disorder. Listen, it's complicated. You have a lot going on. Bipolar is one thing. Then you say you have these multiple personalities. That's another thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's like complicated stuff. I always make jokes on my show and I'm like, I'm not a therapist at all. You know, I give unprofessional advice, right? So, you know, if I was a real therapist, I would, you know, I would know more about your diagnosis and what is at play there, right? You know it, I'm sure, because you've been in therapy your whole life, right? But it still controls you to some point, even when you're on medication.
It does. And the reason why they won't write me back to work is I'm the worst case they've ever seen, my medical team.
Uh-huh.
There's two nurse practitioners, one doctor, and a therapist that meet regularly, like 2 or 3 times a month on my behaviors. And they said that they're the worst case they've ever seen.
In
their whole career.
In what sense? That even under medication, you're acting out, that you can't control, you still have.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm put at bay with my medicine. Like I'm put at bay.
Yeah.
But like I said, because I'm put at bay, I'm not acting out, but I'm still masturbating, fantasizing, desiring, wanting these things again. Mm-hmm. Because I like doing it. Like I said, and then you're a mom at the same time and you're like, ugh, I don't need to act this way and I don't want to hurt people. So I'll never have a real relationship again because I deep down, I like being a whore. Like it's a horrible thing.
And now your ex-husband, because you said very early on in this conversation, like, oh, you know, he's my best friend and I still can't get over it. I mean, do you ever, because I'm assuming you see him or in contact with him, you have kids together, right? Do you live close by each other now that you're with your parents?
No, they live 2 hours away. I stay at his house.
Yeah.
Like I have my own bed there. Or I stay with my daughter in her bed. I practically, it's like a living in situation. His girlfriend comes in and out. She's sweet as pie. Love her to pieces. Love her kids to pieces. And we do a whole family thing here. We let the kids, you know, go to dinner. We let them go to their sports. We swap on and off who's running them to swim team and who's fixing dinner tonight. And we let them see that it's a positive environment, even though we're not together.
Mm-hmm.
We are one of those rare co-parenting situations that I call it bird nesting. The baby birds have never left their nest.
Right.
I mean, they may visit me at my mom's for a week or my ex-girlfriend. We had a place we'd go down for a week. But they don't leave their nest. Their school is here. This is where they live. I come in and out. Dad, you know, he works a lot.
But their nest is with the father, right?
Yeah, the nest is here with the father. But
oh, you're there now, right?
He goes on. Yeah, I'm there now. But he goes on vacations, and you know, he does his thing too. Not very often. They bust his ass at work a lot. But he's able to have that stability that I'm here with him. So you know, he's not worried about not rushing home. So yeah, the baby birds don't leave the nest.
But what about you're like, oh, my girlfriend's house. Like, what? How did you have a girlfriend, and how long was that relationship, and what went down there?
That was a friend from years ago, kind of like the race car driver that popped back up in my life, and we were together for a year and a half. And the kids would come down and visit for like a week or two, but nothing. But they didn't know any different. Just really unstable relationship. So I just got out of it the past few months, and of course, I've been staying with my mom more because of it. So my mom's excited because the girl's just really abusive.
How long were you with her for?
A year and a half, but I've known her for 20 years.
Right. Okay. And she was abusive to you too.
Yes. She was very controlled what I do. How long I'm on my phone. Cause you get alerts on your iPhone and what your screen time is.
Uh-huh.
My screen time would be down like 70% the week I was at her house.
Right.
Cause I wasn't allowed on it at all. And just control who I was talking to. Like if my ex-husband would text message, hey, do you want, because we would go around his work schedule when he's on call and not on call. And he's an obstetrician, so you never know when the babies are coming.
Yeah.
So he would be like, hey, I'm on call this weekend. Can you come in and cover me? And I'd be like, yeah, I'll be there Thursday and I'll cover you till the following Thursday or whatever, Friday, whatever the week was. And she would throw a fit. She was like, you can't answer his calls. You can't text message him. You're not. Well, girl, bitch, please. He pays my cell phone bill. Like, and it's my kids. Like, if my kids need somebody there, I'm going to go be with my kids.
Right. But you're, and I mean, so, I would assume somebody with all your issues, because I always say like attracts like. I've had my issues in my past, and I was always meeting douchebags and dating douchebags, and I have to take some accountability for that, right? Because I really believe like attracts like. So it's not, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand why you are having all these bad relationships. If you are, by your own statement, saying that you're the worst case these doctors have ever found, I mean, it's very unlikely right now in your life you're going to be able to attract Prince Charming, you know, and have this normal relationship because you're not
at this point.
Yeah, you're not stable yourself. It sounds like your first husband, right? That first relationship was probably the healthiest you ever had, right? And you're lucky that you wound up having kids with him and not anybody else.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because he...
But it's funny that you...
Yeah.
I'll keep going.
No, you say. You go.
No, it's funny you mentioned rocket scientists, and not to jump back to my book, but someone messaged me the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, messaged me the other day and said, why is your book a short read and not up to standards? And I said, well, it doesn't take rocket scientists to be a whore.
Right, right.
Like, but so therefore, you said, you know, the rocket scientist thing really just sticks out at me because it just, people amaze me. People just amaze me every day.
What, that they person really that just, like an online troll that said that to you? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I get so many emails and so much stuff. It's insane. The book has really just taken off. It really has just, I just put it out, and it's just, you get mixed emotions from it. But it's something that's been really important the past month of the launching to really just put it out there, what I'm doing. This is escorting. This is what it's like to... be out there, and it's, like I said, a quick, easy read. But my ex-husband is the most stable that I have been into. Not that our relationship was perfect, but he's my rock. He really, I mean, he did not have to tolerate this behavior. He still doesn't have to tolerate this behavior. But knowing that I have been quiet for the time I've been home has been real inspiring to him and my family. And like I said, they're dabbling in the idea of me going back to the airlines. But how far do we put my schedule to where I'm working full time and dicking around overseas and having cocks in my mouth?
Right. Right. Well, at least you're spending time. I mean, maybe writing the books and doing all that and having, you know, telling these stories and living out your other parts of your personality, like through writing and creating scenarios about it, maybe not living them, would be beneficial to you, you know, make it like, you know, maybe live out all these kind of whorish things that you want to do, you know, on paper, yeah, as opposed to in real, and, you know, just focus on that. It'll help your writing get better if people are complaining it's not up to par. It was your first fucking book, right? But, you know, yeah, maybe after you're done telling all your real stories, you could start just creating some made up ones, right? And go on.
Yeah, I thought about that too, because I have so much material that's there that I can mesh with other material.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm lucky that I have enough material to do 4 books.
Yeah, but when you're done and maybe don't go back, if they're really taking off, you could become like a really successful erotica author.
Novelist.
Yeah, no, yeah, for real. And like I said, these stories that you're telling now are all things that happen, but maybe, you know, when you're done putting that all out, you start to create fantasies and the stuff in your head and live that out, you know, and live it out through writing it. And it'll probably be very therapeutic for you.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, my mom has talked about different things, like, Amy, you should write more. My therapist, who knows more,
yeah,
is like, maybe you should write all this stuff down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, yes, but at the same time, I'm pulsating. I mean, I haven't been with a man in a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that is and it's not that I'm like, oh, I want a relationship with you. This is like, I see someone random at the grocery store and it's like, hey, can we just real quick just do something real quick? Not that I'll get off, because I won't get off at all. But I'm craving that, the rebellious side, the things that you should not be doing.
Yeah, but that's an itch you shouldn't scratch. You know, that's some sort of dysfunctional part of you that's addicted to, like, fucking drama. And the only way to stop that is to just not do it, until that goes away. And that could be, you might have to not do that for a really long time before that goes away. But I think it's probably not so bad for you to, I mean, I do think though, you probably go from one extreme to another, and, you know, being more moderate would probably tame you more so than either just fucking whoever you want or not fucking at all. Right. Cause then you get, oh, it's been a year and a half and you just want to fuck anybody, you know, it's like, and you're, it's, they do have a saying, what you resist persists. Right. So if you're forcing yourself not to be with someone, now that's all you're fucking thinking about, that you could just go and fuck a stranger. You know, there's got to be a balance in the middle. But I'm sure, like, because you still have these issues and they're not resolved and you're still working on yourself, that, you know, having, being more moderate is difficult for you. So in the meantime, like, know thyself is one of my favorite sayings. And it's, and it seems like you do, you know who you are, right? I mean, you haven't got it figured out and you haven't conquered all these demons inside of you. But you know what you do, you know what your triggers are, you know what you like, you know what's wrong, you know what's right, you know, and you got to, like, mind fuck yourself, you know? So, like, Chloe yeah. is like this whore that does this stuff, and then there's another part of you that feels bad. So, like, right now, maybe if you really just focus your mind on writing more and continuing to write and to, you know, work it out that way, it's it could be helpful and, like I said, healing. So that you don't continue to act out and do all that stuff. I don't know. That's like, you need to be in therapy, like, at least 2 times, 3 times a week, on your medication, right? Doing your thing.
Oh, yeah. They suggested that. When I first started out, it was 3 times a week.
Yeah, that really helps.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It definitely, and they suggest that too, trying to get me in there as much as possible, but schedules get filled really quick, so it's hard to get
but
in.
But if you're not working,
like,
yeah, you're not working right now, right?
Yeah, but it's their schedules that get, they're trying to put with the medical team. They had a second therapist on board, but she was a red hot mess.
Uh-huh.
So I stuck with one. And so getting into her schedule 2-3 times a week has been really hard.
Right.
But she's been starting to make more time for me, which is nice. Because the thing with her is she's available after hours through email.
Right.
So I get a lot of therapy through that and a lot of information that way, per se, than having my appointments, like, as much as they would like for me to have my appointments being the worst case they've ever seen. Because
I'm sure that, like, on some level, like, you know, one of your little alter egos here probably loves the fact that you're the worst case they've ever seen.
Girl, you absolutely know it.
You know,
I mean,
saying,
how's
yeah.
that?
No,
I'm
but
totally
that, but,
messed up, so I'm like, I'm the worst case. My ex-husband went out the door the other day. He said, I'm leaving as one person. We'll see who's here when I get back.
Yeah, but there must be, like, some, you know, that ego that needs to be fed and needs to make someone, you know, you probably hold on to that. And that's why, there's probably a part of you that doesn't want to let that go, because who would you be without all this stuff? You know what I mean? The dysfunctional stuff, like, feeds your ego. If you took it all away, who would you be and what would make you feel good about yourself? You know, and that's that, therein lies the problem. I'm an addict that has been sober for 17 years. I was a major drinker. And when I was drinking, I dressed up really slutty and went out and about and fucked a lot of people and blackouts and did all that kind of stuff. And I remember, like, the first year of being sober, I had all these clothes. They were, like, basically what people wear for Halloween now. You know what I mean? But this is, like, the shit I went out with regularly. And I was like, where do I get that validation from? Like, how am I hot now to guys? Like, what, you know, where does my ego get fed? And that was, like, a hard thing to figure out, right? So I get why sometimes it's hard to let go of that kind of a part of yourself, right? Because there is a lot of validation that comes with it. So when you let go of that, what do you have? So I think some people hold on to that a lot because who are you without all that? Who are you if you're not the worst case scenario that these people have ever seen, you know?
Yeah, I'm scared because that's the only validation I currently have.
Right.
Because
and then
when you
don't have that, you'll go out and get escort. You'll go fuck escorts. You know, so it's like it's that big vapid hole in your ego and everything that, needs to be healed. So you don't need all that kind of stuff to feel good about yourself or define who you are, you know? Right now on my show, you're Chloe Harper, right? That's the person who people could read about in your books. I'll put a link to it. I'm sure a lot of guys are going to want to read your erotica stories, right? It is like hot erotica, right?
Yeah, it's always guys that read it.
Yeah, but who are you really without that? Who is like the real you? You know, we could do a Chloe part two, which are, you know, I'm sure would be interesting to do and to get more information from you. But there's like another person, right? I mean, I don't know how many personalities you have. Do you know?
They have found two. My I shall call it my mommy personality. And of course the Chloe promiscuous, naughty girl, no boundaries person. They're working on more at this point, but they have decided that Chloe is worth a person in itself, that we should focus just on her right now in therapy, that she's valid, that she's a person. Is she a wonderful, outstanding citizen? Not exactly, but she is valid working on in therapy. And that's where they have been going with therapy recently, is coping mechanisms and dealing with how I can't take her out of my life. I can't remove her. So how do I learn to live with her?
Right. And how do you integrate the two? Because they're both inside of you.
Yes.
Right.
So I think
and they're
that's
two
where
extremes.
They're pinpointing a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Two major extremes.
Yeah. The
two
mom.
It's amazing how hot and cold I go. I'm total mom mode, lunch packing, whatever. And then the next thing I know, I'm kids off at school and I'm like masturbating. Like it's totally extreme. She'll go in and out in days or she's docile for months or years.
Yeah. That you have a problem with moderation. Yeah. That's kind of, that's typical, you know, and that's, like I said, because you were like, oh, and maybe when I'm not a mom, it'll be even worse. But I think maybe when you have that other extreme not there, then maybe that that huge difference might be a little bit more laxed, right? Because if you didn't have that mom thing that's so on the other side of the spectrum, then there wouldn't be such a big spectrum that you'd have to go so far out from. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I think I'm a single mom, and I have to say that being a mom is like the most unsexy thing. Like there was a first couple of years of having a child, I was like in Gymboree, and I was a full-time mom in Gymboree around all this estrogen nannies, just like singing Baby Shark. You know, it's like it's very unsexy, and you could really lose, you know, sight of that part of yourself. I would say when my son turned about three, I started to feel like I was coming back to myself. And it was scary for a while to be like, oh my God, I've lost touch with that, you know? And if I was younger and still had all my issues, I could see why somebody, if you had an addiction problem and had, you know, you were bipolar, why you could, you know, flip the other way and how that could happen, you know, because it is an extreme, you know, motherhood can be a very extreme one way to live. And if you have another part of you that you're not feeding and catering to, you know, just a little bit in moderation, you know, you could go the other way and be very extreme with it and then do like what you're doing. You're an extreme case of it. But I think, you know, it happens on very slight levels to a lot of women, right? Because we're all like, it's like the Madonna whore complex. We all have those both parts of us in us, right? Do too, and you just haven't been able to integrate them both. But it's great that you're in therapy. I think, like I said, know thyself. That's the first thing that someone has to do, you know, in order to get better, is like know their shit, know what's wrong with them. And then, you know, the work comes into play as far as like taking your medicine, going to therapy, trying to figure it out. And I think writing for you is like the greatest thing. I think it's great that you're writing these books. I think it's great that you're putting it out there. People should go read your book. Why don't you give another plug to it? What's the name? People could find it on Amazon.
Yes, Seeking Chloe Harper.
Seeking Chloe Harper. You could hear more hot stories. You know, you could come back on. I'm sure, like, I feel like there was a million things we could have went and talked about. I tried to get the whole, like, the gist of the story in an hour, right? But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more there. But I'm going to wrap it up. And I just want to say thank you so much for calling in. And I'll include a link to your book so people could hear, you know, more details about your escorting.
All right. Well, thank you.
Keep me posted and let me know how everything is. Maybe we'll talk again in like 3 months and see what's going on with you, Chloe.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.